ओम हरिः ओम तत्सत् श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ओम ओम भद्रं कर्णे शृणुयाम देवाः भद्रं पश्येम क्षभ्रयजते. We're starting the first mantra of Mandukya Upanishad. As we have seen earlier, the Mandukya Upanishad begins introducing twofold enquiries. The enquiry into the meaning of pranavaha, omkaraha, and the enquiry into the truth of the Atma. Enquiry into the nature of the Atma. So, Omkara Vicharaha and Pranava Vicharaha, both Vicharas, both enquiries are present, nutshell, in the first two mantras. Even though they are two different enquiries, the result of both the enquiries is one and the same. That both enquiries result in arriving at the truth of the universe, Paramatma Bhagavan. So, Om, I want you to remember the old lesson. Old lesson means, when I taught you previously the meaning of Omkaraha, previous lesson, the Navaha, the Omkaraha is also called Pranavaha, and Navaha means a name. A name is a word indicating a given object, like table, pen, book, chair, etc. But one word, one Navaha, one name can indicate only one given particular object. One word cannot indicate more than one. Whereas this particular sound, this monosyllabic sound, Om, is a pranavaha. It is not ordinary navaha, ordinary name, but it's a pranavaha. Why? Because a unique name. Because one word indicates, stands for all the objects. Objects in their entirety, which constitute the entire cosmos. That is why I gave this explanation also last time. Prakarshena nuyate anena iti pranavaha. Idanal viseshamaha anaitum ariyappaduvadal idarku per pranavaha. Prakarshena nuyate anena iti pranavaha. That by which the entire universe, all the objects, that's by which very specially anything and everything is indicated, it's called a pranavaha. This meaning is an old meaning which we saw many times before when we discussed in Taittiriyam and other texts. Therefore, it is name of the Lord, and it is an auspicious beginning to have Omkara initially. Therefore, Upanishad, now let us go to the mantra. Om ityetadaksharamidam sarvam.
Om ityetadaksharamidam
sarvam. Om ityetadaksharam.
Om ityetadaksharam.
Idam sarvam.
Idam sarvam.
say twice after me, or you can say mentally at least, Om ityetadidam, Om ityetadaksharam.
Om ityetadaksharam.
Idam sarvam.
Idam sarvam.
Idam sarvam.
Tasyopa vyakhyanam.
Tasyopa vyakhyanam.
Bhutam bhavat,
bhutam bhavat,
bhavishyat,
bhavishyat,
bhutam bhavat, bhavishyat,
bhutam bhavat, bhavishyat,
iti,
iti,
sarvam,
sarvam,
Omkara eva.
Omkara eva.
Bhutam bhavat.
Bhutam bhavat.
Bhavishyat.
Bhavishyat.
Iti.
Iti.
Sarvam.
Sarvam.
Omkara eva.
Omkara eva.
Yachanyat.
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 Trikalatitam.
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 Tadapi.
Tadapi.
Omkara eva.
Omkara eva.
Tadapyomkara eva. Om iti yetat aksharam. You have to speak the mantra first. Om iti yetat aksharam. Om iti yetat aksharam. Om iti yetad aksharam. This Om karaha. Aksharam means syllable. Aksharam you have learned from me before. Kshana ksharati ti aksharam. This meaning we saw in Mundaka Upanishad. That which is imperishable, indestructible is aksharam. Therefore, Paramatma is known by the term, word, adjective, Aksharam Brahma, indestructible reality, imperishable reality. Aivatra Chandrubhaka, we say Aksharam. But here, the Aksharam means a syllable. And Idam Aksharam, this Omkara, this monosyllable consisting of three sounds, Om, this Omkaraha Pranavaha, Idam Aksharam, Om iti Yetad Aksharam, Om Engindra Inda, Oruli, this Omkaraha. Idam sarvam. What is this omkaraha? It says, idam sarvam. Now, we have to split that. First, omkaraha is, what is omkaraha? Idam sarvam. And idam means this. Sarvam means everything. Idam sarvam omkaraha. Idam sarvam om iti etadaksharam. Idam sarvam, everything here. So idam indicates, idam means this. And this means what? Everything here. Everything here means what? This entire cosmos, entire universe. Idam sarvam omkaraha. This entire, everything in this universe is nothing but omkaraha. This entire cosmos is omkaraha. So this is an equation. The very first mantra is what? An equation. Idam sarvam is equal to omkaraha. This entire universe is equal to om. And everything in this universe is om. So every object in this universe is, everything is equated to om. The entire universe is equated to om. What does it mean? Therefore, knowing the truth of omkaraha, by analyzing, by inquiring into the meaning of omkaraha, you can arrive at the truth of everything. So what does the equation reveal? Equation reveals, you need not go and know the truth of everything here. You need not go and know the truth of everything, every object here. By knowing the truth of omkaraha, by knowing the meaning of omkaraha, you can arrive at the truth of everything. That is what is revealed by the equation. So enquiry into the meaning of omkaraha is equal to enquiry into the truth of everything. Therefore, enquiry into the truth of meaning of omkaraha will result in what now? The knowledge of the truth of everything. The enquiry into the meaning of omkaraha result in the knowledge of the truth of the entire cosmos. This is what is revealed by the very first equation. The first mantra's meaning is over. The first sentence. Om iti yetad aksharam idam sarvam. Idam sarvam jagat om karaha. This is the meaning. Now you understand Sanskrit very well. It sounds like Tamil, isn't it? Now, tasya upavyakhyanam. Tasya upavyakhyanam. Before we see the meaning of this tasya upavyakhyanam, let us see the meaning of the following words. Bhutam. Idam sarvam means everything here, this entire universe, indicates what? Bhutam. Bhuta means that which existed before, in the past. Bhutam. The universe which existed before, in the past. Bhavat. The universe which exists now, in the present. Bhavat means irikkinra. Bhuta means irunda. The universe which existed before Bhutam, the universe which is existing now, Bhavat, and Bhavishyat, that which is going to exist in future, that which will be existing in the future, Bhavishyat. Irunda, irikkinra, pinnal, irukkapotra. Okay? That which existed before, that which is existing now, and that which is going to exist in future also. Bhuta bhutam bhavat bhakshyat iti. So iti thus is explained. What is that? This entire idam sarvam is explained by this following words, bhutam bhavat bhavishyat. Therefore, it is said in between, tasya upavyakhyanam. Vyakhyanam means explanation. And upavyakhyanam means, this is the further explanation of the preceding statement or equation. what is the preceding state, equation, everything here is Om. Omkara. This entire universe is Omkara means. What do you mean by that? This entire universe means not only the universe which is existing now, whatever existed before, everything which existed before in the past also is Omkara. Whatever is existing now in the present, everything existing now also is Omkara. What is going to come in future also is nothing but Omkara, which means the Bhutam Bhavat Bhavishyat indicate the time-bound objects. Which means Kala Antargata Jagat. Kala Antargatam Jagat means what? Kala Varayarekku Utpatta Prapadipu. Kala Antargatam Jagat means all this universe which is bound, no? Which is within the realm of time. It is subject to time. Kala Antargatam Jagat Bhutam Bhavat Bhavishyat Sarvam Omkaraha Eva. This is the explanation. Sarvam Omkaraha Eva. Everything is Omkaraha. Bhavishyat Iti. Tasya means Tasya Omkarasya. Tasya Omkarasya. We can say Tasya, the preceding statement's explanation is such that whatever was before, whatever is now, what was going to be in future, Kala Antargatam. Well, what was before is not now. What is now was not there before, what will not be in future. It's called Kala Antargatam Jagat. Okay? So, time-bound universe is also what? Existed before, now and future. It will be existing in future. Everything is Omkaraha. Sarvam. That is Sarvam, Sarvam Omkaraha Eva. Everything is Omkaraha. Sarvam is equal to Omkaraha. Another equation you come across. Sarvam Omkaraha Eva. Everything is Omkaraha. Therefore, what does it indicate? We'll see later. Now, next, see the next sentence now. Yat cha, if you split it, will get yat cha. Not only that which is kala antargatam, not only the universe which existed before, which is existing now, which is going to be existing in future, which exists within the realm of time, but also that which is beyond time. Kala atitam. Anyat trikala atitam. Trikala atitam means that which is beyond this threefold. Past, present and future. Kala trikala atitam. That which is not bound by time. That kala bahirgatam or kala atitam. That which is not only this time bound universe, but also timeless reality is also Omkaraha Eva. Okay, time bound as well as timeless. Time bound universe, timeless reality, yatcha, and also that which is trikala atitam. Yeah, anyat. What is anyat? that which is distinct. Anyat means that which is distinct, that which is other than. Yat anyat. Yat anyat means and cha and. Yat anyat, that which is other than, that which is distinct, that which is different from this kala antargatam. What is that which is beyond, what is it which is distinct and different from the time bound, is the timeless. Trikala atitam. So that which is in Mandukya, I am going very slowly because it is very profound. Therefore, you have to be with me in the class with the mantra, with the word. So that Trikala Atitam, so that which is distinct and different from the time bound, and that which is free from time limitation, which is free from, is beyond time, Kala Bahirgatam, Kala Atitam, Tadapi Omkaraha Eva. That is also is Omkaraha. What does it mean now? Kala Antargatam, Kala Bahirgatam, Kala Yuktam, Kala Atitam, Sarvam Omkaraha means that what is there is only Omkaraha. There is nothing other than Omkaraha. Therefore, if next step, if there is everything that is here is only Omkaraha, you cannot Sadi Irandoya Verillai. You cannot talk about anything more than these two. That which is beyond time and that which is within the realm of time. Time bound and the timeless are the two things you can talk about here. And the time bound is Omkaraha, timeless also is Omkaraha. Means whatever is here is Omkaraha. Everything is Omkaraha. Which means enquiry into the meaning of Omkaraha is enquiry into the meaning, the truth of everything. Therefore, knowledge of the meaning of Omkaraha is knowledge of the truth of everything. Re-enquiry into the nature of meaning of Omkaraha will result in the knowledge of the truth of Omkaraha. This is the first mantra meaning. And this is introduced. Okay? Therefore, Omkara Vicharaha is introduced in this first mantra, which is going to be elaborately discussed from mantra number 8. 8 to 12. Now let's go to the next mantra now. Sarvam.
Sarvam.
Hi. Yetad Brahma.
Yetad Brahma.
Sarvam hi.
Sarvam hi.
Yetad Brahma.
Yetad Brahma.
I am Atma Brahma.
I am Atma Brahma.
Soyam Atma.
Soyam Atma.
Chatushpat.
Chatushpat.
This small sentence, this one mantra. Mantra number 2. Sarvam.
Sarvam.
Hetad Brahma.
Hetad Brahma.
Sarvam hi.
Sarvam hi.
Etad.
Etad.
Brahma.
Brahma.
All you Sanskrit students, you should remember words now. Sarvam hi.
Sarvam hi.
Yetad Brahma.
Yetad Brahma.
This is the first sentence. Sarvam hi yetad Brahma. First sentence. Sarvam hi yetad Brahma. Then next sentence. I am Atma Brahma.
Brahma.
I am Atma Brahma.
I am Atma Brahma.
Next sentence. Soyam Atma.
Soyam Atma.
Chatushpad.
Chatushpad.
Soyam Atma Chatushpad.
Soyam Atma Chatushpad.
Sarvam Yetad Brahma. Sarvam Yetad Brahma.
Sarvam Yetad Brahma.
Ayam Atma Brahma.
Ayam Atma Brahma.
Soyam Atma.
Soyam Atma.
Chatushpat.
Chatushpat.
As we saw earlier, the second mantra introduces Atma Vicharaha, or enquiry into the truth of Atma, the self, I, myself. And how does it begin? Sarvam hi yetad Brahma. Sarvam hi yetad Brahma. Hi, indeed. Sarvam yetad Brahma. Ye, again you put it correctly. Yetad sarvam Brahma. Idam sarvam, idam as a synonym of yetad. Both the words mean what? This. Third person, singular pronoun. A neuter pronoun actually. Yetad idam. Yetad sarvam Brahma. Now what does this mantra say? It is end everything. Here is Omkaraha, the previous mantra said. Now this mantra says idam yetad sarvam Brahma. Everything here is Brahma. Everything is Brahma. Etat sarvam is equal to Brahma. Here another equation. This mantra also begins with another equation. Etat sarvam. Everything here, or this entire cosmos, is equal to Brahma. Everything here is Brahma. This entire universe is Brahma. Etat sarvam Brahma. This is another equation. And Brahma is the word which implies the reality. And if you ask this question, why reality is implied by the term Brahma, we will see elaborately later on. Now you can understand reality, Brahma itself means what? Brihatamatvat Brahma. Due to its bigness, due to its greatness, reality is implied by the term Brahma. Because Brahma has come from the root Brahmh. Brahmati means grows. So that which is big is Brahma. And what is that which is big here? Reality is big. And how big is the reality which we have seen already in Taittiriya Upanishad? See, that which is limitlessly big is Brahma. And how limitlessly big it is? It is incomparably big. Why it is incomparably big? Because it is time-wise limitless, spatially limitless, object-wise limitless. Therefore, the reality which is free from all the three limitations is limitlessly big. Therefore, it is implied by the term Brahma. Now, we say This sentence says what now? Now we know, I don't need to talk about Brahma. We must just take the word Brahma alone. You will not see anything more than this here. Etat sarvam Brahma means this entire cosmos is Brahma. Everything is Brahma. This entire cosmos is Brahma. Therefore, what does it mean? Enquiry into the nature of Brahma is the enquiry into the truth of everything. You need not enquire into every truth of everything here. Enquiry into one thing called Brahma, enquiry into the nature of one thing called Brahma, the knowledge of the truth of everything becomes arrived at. We arrive at the knowledge of the truth of everything. In Mundaka Upanishad, we had this Kasmin Vijnate Sarvam Vijnatam Bhavati. What is that one thing by knowing which everything else becomes known as it were? We had this. Like that, what that by knowing which alone everything becomes known. That is Brahma. Therefore, he says, Sarvam hi etat Brahma, idam etat Sarvam Brahma is an equation which says, analyzing into the nature of Omkara, or inquiry into the nature of Omkara, will result in the knowledge of the truth of everything. Then, what is this Brahman? What is this Brahman? Everything is Brahman fine. What is this Brahman then? He says, I am Atma Brahma. I am Atma Brahma. I am means not English, I am. Sanskrit, I am means what? This. Why? Idam, why? I am. Both words mean the same. Idam, he also means this. I am also means this. Yetad also means this. And Yetad and Idam are neutral gender words. I don't want to confuse you with too many things. And I am is a masculine pronoun. I am Atma Brahma. Because Atma is a masculine gender word. So this self. I am Atma means what? Atma means what? The all-pervasive reality obtaining in every individual as I, the self, is what? Atma. The reality obtaining in an individual I is what? Atma. The self, myself. You can say myself. I am. Okay. Therefore, I am Atma Brahma means this self is Brahman. Why this self? What is nearer to you? What is the nearest to you? There's nothing nearer to you than yourself. Therefore, you, the nearest self, you are what now? Brahma. To say that, Upanishad says, this Tattvamasi, put in differently as what now? This Atma, the nearest self, I, is what? Atma. I am Atma Brahma. The self is Brahma. Now, here in this mantra, the two equations. Everything is Brahma is first equation. And this self is Brahma is a second equation. The self is Brahman. Therefore, what does it mean? Like before, If everything is Omkaraha means Omkara Vicharaha is equal to Sarva Vicharaha. Enquiry into meaning of Omkara is equal to enquiry into the truth of everything. Similarly, when you say Sarva Brahma, enquiry into the nature of reality Brahma is equal to enquiry into the truth of everything. So, Brahma Vicharaha is equal to Sarva Vicharaha. Now, what is the next equation? This Atma is Brahma. This self, the nearest self, myself is Brahma. Means, so enquiry into the truth of I is equal to enquiry into the truth of nature of Brahma. So Atma Vicharaha will be Brahma Vicharaha. The two equations, everything is Brahman, is one equation number one. Number two is what? Everything is Atma is a second equation. What does it mean? Now we can say Brahma A is equal to B, B is equal to C, which means therefore A is equal to C. Brahma Vicharaha is equal to Sarva Vicharaha. Atma Vicharaha is equal to Brahma Vicharaha. Therefore, Atma Vicharaha is equal to Sarva Vicharaha. Purunjada? So, enquiry into the truth of Brahman is an enquiry in nature of reality. Brahman is equal to enquiry into the truth of everything. And enquiry into the truth of Atma, nature of the Atma, is equal to enquiry into the nature of Brahma. Therefore, enquiry into the nature of Atma is equal to enquiry into the nature of everything. Therefore, now what does it mean? We have story in mythology. Once Lord Shiva and Parvati, they were there sitting enjoying the time, and both children, Ganesha and Subramanya, they came to them, and they had only one fruit was there. Only one fruit was there. So they should have cut and given to both of them, but they didn't do that. They said, come on, you go around the world. Whoever goes around the world first and comes to me, they'll get the you'll get the fruit. That was the thing. Then always his Lord Muruga was handsome and very thin and then very, fast. And immediately he climbed onto his vehicle called Mayuraha. Mayura Vahanaha, Shiki Vahana. And he is swift, very swift person. He just started going around the world. And Ganesha, very sharp, okay? Fat but sharp. Okay? Big belly, it takes very long for him to slowly move. The big belly person to come and near the parents to start going around the world means that with his Mushika Vahana, with his mouse, as a small Vahana, how can he come around the world? He did one good thing. He just came around his parents, and he got the fruit. What does it mean? This is the meaning, okay? Coming around the Shiva Parvati is as good as coming around the whole prapancha. Karana pradakshinam is equal to karya pradakshinam. Isn't it? Karanatta shuddhinale porum karyamum. The pradakshinam of the cause becomes the pradakshinam of the effect. This is a story we just say. Like this here, if you know enquiry into the truth of oneself, enquiry into the nature of the Atma is equal to enquiry into the nature of Brahman, the absolute reality. And enquiry into the nature of absolute reality Brahman is equal to enquiry into the truth of everything. Therefore, when you say A is equal to B, B is equal to C, and you can say A is equal to C. Therefore, enquiry into the nature of one's own self, the Atma, is what? Enquiry into the truth of everything. Therefore, Atma Vicharaha, enquiry into the nature of oneself, also will result in the knowledge of the truth of everything. Enquiry into the nature of truth of oneself will result in the knowledge of the truth of the entire cosmos. Got it? Therefore, and here, I am Atma Brahma is a very famous, well-known Mahavakyam. As we saw, the first sentence we had a Mahavakyam. Sarvam Omkaraha. Now we have Sarvam Etad Sarvam Brahma, the second equation. Any equation is a Mahavakyam. And I am Atma Brahma is a Mahavakyam. Is an equation. All the equations are not seen as Mahavakyams, but this equation, a Mahavakyam is an equation. I am Atma Brahma. Like that, we have, I hope you remember these Mahavakyams. Tat Tvam Asi, the famous Mahavakyam, is in Chandogya Upanishad of Samaveda. And Aham Brahma Asmi is a famous Mahavakyam found in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad of Yajurveda. And Prajnanam Brahma is a Mahavakyam found in Aitreya Upanishad of Rigveda. And I am Atma Brahma is the important Mahavakyam of Mandukya Upanishad belonging to Atharvana Veda. So now you know there are so many Mahavakyams strewn all over many Upanishads. But each Mahavakyam is taken as a sample for each Veda. Don't think there's only Mahavakyam available in each Veda. Many Mahavakyams, but we have taken easy, nice, simple Mahavakyam as a sample for each Veda. Tattvamasi Samaveda. Aham Brahmasmi Yajurveda. Prajnanam Brahma Rigveda. I am Atma Brahma Atharvana Veda. This is a Mahavakyam. I am Atma Brahma. In the Atma Naan engindra sollin porulai ulla inda Atma Paramporul Brahma. Okay. The self, the nearest self, myself and Brahma. Now, what is this Atma? First you saw, what is everything here? Everything is Brahma. What is Brahman? Brahman is what? Atma is Brahma. What is Atma now? The question should come, isn't it? What is Atma? So answer is given, I am Atma Chatushpat. I am Atma Chatushpat. What is everything here? Everything here is Brahma. What is Brahma? I am Atma Brahma. Atma is Brahma. Oh, what is this Atma then? Means, I am Atma Chatushpat. I am Atma Chatushpat. This self is known as Chatushpat. Atma is known as Chatushpat. Atma is known as Chatushpat. You know, explanation of this Chatushpat forms the content of the whole vichara. Now, what are we going to see now? Mantra number 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. All the 5 mantras are in explanation of this one name, one word, Chatushpat. Now, so we can understand the whole Atma Vichara, the analysis of the nature of Atma, or the true enquiry into the nature of Atma, which is elaborately discussed in the 5 mantras, in 3rd to 7th. That we can see before we enter. Now, the nutshell. We can have the bird's eye view of the presentation of this explanation of this word Chatushpat. And this Mandukya Upanishad is known as a unique Upanishad for its unique presentation of how Atma is known as Chatushpat. This Chatushpat, Atma being presented as Chatushpat in this Upanishad, makes this Upanishad deep and significant, unique and special. And in fact, this makes this Upanishad sound a little tough also. Now, Chatushpat means Chatush stands for Chatvaraha, four. No, Chatvari means four. Ekam, dve, trini, Chatvari. Chatvari means four. And masculine gender, we have to say Chatvaraha. I think I taught you sometime back. Chatvari, four. Chatasraha, four. Chatvaraha also means four. When in a compound, when you use these four, these words, Chatvaraha, it becomes Chatush. Chatush means four. And Padaha, Padaha means, literally it means a foot, a leg. It also means a quarter. Padam means, Padaha means quarter. Ardaha means half. Tripada, quarter two. And Eka means one. You know that. So here, Padaha also means what? Quarter. But here, we should take the meaning Padaha as a facet. A face, be careful. It also don't take, we should not take it, take the meaning of leg here. We should take the meaning of facet or aspect or expression. So, Chatvaraha Padaha Yasya Saha Chatushpad. Atma, which is endowed with the four faceted. Atma is endowed with four aspects or four expressions or four facets. It's called Chatushpat, four facets. That which is the Atma, which is endowed with four facets, is well, what now? Chatushpat. Chatvaraha Padaha Yasya Saha Chatushpat. Atma is endowed with four facets, therefore it's called four aspected, four faceted, is covered Chatushpat. Now, to understand, this is going to be explained elaborately. Before we start seeing the elaboration, let us understand briefly. Now you can close your pens, notes and listen to me. If you can write and want. See, any object to be existent or have status of being existent. Astitvam. Astitva means enjoying the status of being an existent. For any object to be an existent object, to have existence, to be existent thing, it must be an object of knowledge. An object to be existent, it must be an object of knowledge. So, see, to be existent, to have, to be, for an order object to be existent, it must be an object of knowledge. An object should have prameyatvam. And for the object to be an object, for a thing to be existent, must be an object of knowledge. And for the thing to be an object of knowledge, it must be available for any of the means of knowledge, pramanam, instrument of knowledge. It must be available for any of the pramanams. We have sixfold pramanams, you know very well. It must be available, pratyaksha pramanam. It must be available for perception or for inference or for comparison or for assumption, you know. So then it must be at least, then it must be absent, or it must be available for through any of these pramanams. Therefore, we say, for an object to be existent, for a thing to be an existent, it must be an object of knowledge. And to be an object of knowledge, it must be available through any of the means of knowledge, instruments of knowledge, pramana. This is the point number one we have to remember. So an object should be, a thing should be an object of knowledge in order to be existent. This is the one point we have to remember. To have astitvam, it must have prameyatvam. To have the status of being existent, it must be an object. It must enjoy the status of being an object of knowledge. Is it clear or not?
Yes.
Now we go to the next step. So this, for the object, in order to be existent, to be an object of knowledge, there must be the knower pramata. Pramata. Pramata means what? The knower. So for the prameyam to be there, the pramata must be there. For the object of knowledge to be there, there must be the knower, the pramata. If the pramata is not there, the knower is not there, the object of knowledge cannot be there. Therefore, existence of prameyam is dependent on the existence of pramata. Every sentence I say must be understood clearly. The words may sound very usual words, thick words, repeatedly used words. So existence of prameyam is dependent on the existence of pramata. existence of an object of knowledge is dependent on the existence of the knower, the subject of knowledge. This is number two point. The third point you have to remember is the pramata, the knower, will not be available unless I, the conscious being, choose to know. I, the conscious being, should choose to know, only then there will be pramata, the knower, available. Therefore, now you can understand, the pramata, the knower, dependent on I, the conscious being, are dependent on me, the conscious being. So existence of knower, see, existence of the knowable or the known, the object of knowledge, the prameyam, is dependent on the existence of the knower. Now the existence of knower is dependent on the existence of I, the conscious being. Why? Because whenever, see, I, the conscious being, choose to know a given thing, employing or operating a given pramanam, then the knower comes into existence. We understand very carefully. When does the knower come into existence? The knower comes into existence only when I, the conscious being, want to know, or choose to know a given thing, operating a given pramanam. I repeat it. The knower comes into existence only when I, the conscious being, choose to operate a given pramanam, choosing to know a given thing. Therefore, the pramata, the knower, is dependent on the choice of the conscious being I. We need the word choice. The existence of pramata is dependent on the existence of I, the conscious being. Now you can take these three points. Remember these three points. What are three points? Prameyam is dependent on an object to be existent. It must be a prameyam. It must be an object, and a thing to be an existent, it must be an object of knowledge. An object of knowledge is dependent, existence of the object of knowledge is dependent on the existence of the knower. And the existence of knower is dependent on the conscious being I. So from these three, when we see these three points, we understand that we have to remember the old lessons, that always we talk about it, that which has dependent existence is mithya, and that which has independent existence alone is satyam. Now we have to remember what? That which has dependent existence is mithya. Therefore, prameyam has dependent existence, Pramata also has dependent existence. Therefore, the known, the knowable, the knower have dependent existence. Therefore, Prameyam also is mithya. Pramata also is mithya. And anything mithya, hope you remember that I'm Taittiriya Upanishad class. Anything which has dependent existence is mithya. And anything which is mithya is namarupatmakam, only in the form of name and form. And anything which is in the form of name and form is just non-substantial. And a non-substantial is as good as non-existent. It's okay. This we saw when I was teaching this Panchakocha analysis. I taught these things. That is why it's very important. Mandukya Upanishad, it is not allowed actually. Tradition doesn't allow attending the Mandukya directly without having heard other few Upanishads at least. Anyway, it doesn't matter, but we all can make efforts, no problem. But that's why, you know what I'm saying? I'm not saying sure, attend the class. If anything is confusing, don't worry. Just allow the confusion to be there and then have patience to listen and understand. Re-listen and understand. That's what I want to say. There's some Swamis that they wouldn't allow at all. But here we have to be compassionate and then we have to be kind. We have to be rude and strict. We can allow as long as you accept you are being able to be confused. It won't confuse you. One thing, it needs more. See, so many words now, technical terms they're using. So anything which has independent existence is mithya, and is mithya is just the name and form, and the name and form is non-substantial. Anything non-substantial is as good as non-existent. Now see, that means this prameyam and pramata, these two together, we can say namarupas. Prameyam also is namarupa. Pramata also is a namarupa. The known and the knower, namarupas, both have their existence where do this prameyam and pramata exist? Where do they exist? What do they lean on? What do they rely on? What do they exist in? We say prameyam and pramata, object of knowledge and the subject of the knower, they have their existence in I, in me, the Atma, the conscious being. Just as the name and form wave has its existence in water, the H2O, similarly, the name and form prameyam and the pramata have their existence in me, I, the conscious being. Therefore, the substance on which the substantives, which are namal rupas, the prameyam and pramata are dependent on, is the I, the satya atma. I, the satya atma, am the substance. I, the satya atma, in which alone Prameyam and Pramata have their existence. So they have existence in me, the conscious being. Now we can understand. So, I, the Atma, Satyam, the Pramata and Prameyam are Mithya. Now we have to see, next step we have to go. This Mithya Prameyam, Prameya Pramata, Mithya Prameyam and Mithya Pramata, these together can say Mithya Namarupas. Now reduce the Prameyam into as Namarupa, reduce the Pramata also as Namarupa, name and form. Then you use only the word Namarupa. This Mithya Namarupas, Namarupas can be divided into three Mithya Namarupas. This Mithya Namarupas reduce the Prameyam and Pramata into Namarupas. And see, now this Mithya Namarupas obtaining in the form of Prameyam and Pramata can be divided into three. See, the Mithya Namarupa, the Mithya Prameyam known by the knower, Mithya Knower, Mithya Prameyam and the Mithya Pramata obtaining in the waking state. See, Mithya Prameyam, Mithya Pramata obtaining in the waking state experience is called Sthula Pramata, Sthula Prameyam, Sthula Mithya Namarupa. I repeat it. The Mithya, Prameyam and Pramata obtaining in waking state called Sthula Namarupa. At Sthula Namarupa obtaining in the waking state experience is called Sthula Namarupa. Namarupam, gross name and form. Now, the Mithya Pramata and Mithya Prameyam obtaining in the dream state. In dream state also there is a Pramata, dream knower, and there is a dream object of knowledge, and the dream Pratyaksham and dream Pramanas, therefore the dream knowledge. This knower, the Mithya object of knowledge, and the knower obtaining in the dream state is called what? Mithya Sukshma Namarupa. You have to remember Prameyam and Pramata are Mithya. And Prameyam, the Mithya because Namarupas, and this Namarupa obtaining in the waking state is called what? Sthula Namarupa. And Namarupa obtaining in dream state is called what? Sukshma Namarupa. And the Pramata and Prameyam obtaining in deep sleep state without the division, they exist or not in deep sleep state. In deep sleep state also there is Pramata and Prameyam. There is subject of knowledge and object of knowledge. There is knower and known, but without the division. Okay, the unmanifest, undivided Pramata and Prameyam, obtaining in the deep sleep state, is called Karana Namarupa, causal name and form. So, Sthula Namarupam, Sukshva Namarupam and Karana Namarupam. Gross name and form, subtle name and form, causal name and form. What are these cause, subtle, gross and causal names and forms? Prameyam and Pramata. What is Prameyam? Object of knowledge. And what is Pramata? The knower, the subject of knowledge. We have reduced them into Namarupas because they are Mithya. Because they have dependent existence. Now we can understand, I told you one thing. When I do not choose to know, I, the conscious being, do not want to know or choose to know, using, then when I do not operate any, do not operate any pramanams, then there is no object of, there is no pramata available, there is no knower, there is no knower available. That is why in deep sleep state, when I, the conscious being, remain without operating the instruments of knowledge or pramanas, I am not the knower. There is no knower available in deep sleep state. What this implies? What? The prameyam is dependent on the pramata. Pramata is dependent on I, the conscious being, for their existence. Now you can say, prameyam is directly dependent on pramata for its existence. And pramata is directly dependent on I, the conscious being, for its existence. The known is dependent on the knower for its existence. The knower is dependent on I, the conscious being, for its existence. But anyway, the known and the knower both are dependent on I, the conscious being. The known is indirectly dependent on I. The knower is directly dependent on I for their existence. It's like we apply for the loan from the bank. We get the loan, okay, 10,000 or 20,000 pounds, and we lend few thousands to a friend who is in need of money, which means bank is the ultimate lender of loan for both. But is not directly, but indirectly, through another person. Like that, here also, the existence of prameyam and the existence of pramata, both are dependent, both existence of both is dependent on I, the conscious being. Anyway, you know this well. Now, this what this sthula namarupa, this prama, this prameyam, pramata and prameyam obtaining in waking state, mithya pramata and prameyam obtaining in waking state is sthula namarupa, and the namarupa obtaining in sukshma, in dream state is called sukshma namarupa. The Namarupa undividedly obtaining in the deep sleep state is called Karana Namarupa. Now we'll go to the next step. So any conscious being putting on this sthula nama rupa in waking state in the form of what now? Sthula, pramata and prameya is called sthula atma. Atma gets the name what now? Sthula atma. In fact, I, the conscious being, am alone appearing in the form of appearing as pramata and prameyam. I, the conscious being, am alone appearing as the pramata and prameyam. Therefore, in the waking state, I, the conscious being, putting on this sthula nama rupa, appearing the form of sthula pramata and prameyam, is called sthula atma. So what is sthula atma? Sthula atma is equal to sthula nama rupa. What does it mean? Sthula pramata and pramata plus prameyam is equal to what now? Sthula atma is equal to sthula pramata plus prameyam. Next, I, the conscious being, putting on this sthula sukshma nama rupa, get the new name sukshma atma. Sukshma atma is equal to sukshma pramata plus sukshma prameyam. Sukshma atma is equal to sukshma pramata plus sukshma prameyam. You have to go home and analyze these points very clearly. Then, I, the conscious being, putting on this karana nama rupa, get the name karana atma. Now we have what now? Sthula atma, sukshma atma and karana atma. What is karana atma? Karana atma is equal to karana pramata plus prameyam. But karana pramata prameyam undivided. Undivided karana pramata and prameyam. What now? Karana atma is equal to undivided karana pramata and prameyam. Therefore, now we can say, I, the conscious being, am taking three roles in three different serials. But I get this name, I, the conscious being, gets the name. Okay, let me use it. Gets the name as karana sthula atma, sukshma atma and karana atma. Only from the standpoint of the role plays. Only from the standpoint of the karyam. But from the standpoint of my own self, From my standpoint, the standpoint of highly conscious being, I am not in any disguise. Therefore, that which is highly conscious being, distinct from these three role plays, is called what? Thuriya Atma. Sthula Sukshma Karana Namarupa Vyatiriktaha Atma. You want to know? Thuriya Atma. Who is Thuriyaha? Means fourth. Don't fourth eduthukudadu. Like the fourth. Turiyaha means chaturtaha, like the fourth. So in one play you go and one man goes and plays as a beggar in one movie. Plays the role of a beggar. Same but goes, plays another movie as a rich man. And the same person goes and plays the role of somebody else in another movie. But the beggar also is the same actor. The rich also is the same actor. And the one who's other actor also is the same person. But this person is not the beggar, not the rich, not the other person. Okay, therefore, sthula sukshma karana nama rupa vyatirikta atma is turiya atma. Is it clear or not? You must have already remembered all these words. Pramata, prameyam, pramanam, satyam, mithya, all these words you must have already heard so many times. Now you have to remember where I am using which word so you can remember. Now we will see next step. Sthula Atma is the first padaha. Sukshma Atma is the second padaha. Second facet. Karana Atma is the third facet. Turiya Atma is the fourth facet. And Atma is endowed with these four facets. Sthula, Sukshma, Karana, Turiya, Padaha. Atma is endowed with his four facets. And what is satyam? Which facet is satyam? Which facets are mithya? Which of the four is satyam? And which others are mithya? Turiya Atma is the fourth padaha is what now? Satyam. Other three are mithya. Padas. First, second, third padas. The sthula atma is mithya, sukshma atma is also mithya, karana atma is mithya, and turiya atma is false. And we have this. That's why atma is called what now? Atma is said to be endowed with four facets. Chatush. Therefore, Atma is known by the word Chatushpa. Finished. Class is over. Atma is known as Chatushpa. Hope made it very clear. If you have any doubts, you can ask me afterwards. Okay? Now, you know why Atma is called Chatushpa. you should see how everything develops, how the whole everything is built up. Every point is built up. What you arrived at last. So Atma is called Chatushpa. Turiya Atma. Who is Turiya Atma? What is Turiya Atma? I, the conscious being, from the standpoint of myself, is distinct from, I, the conscious being, is distinct from this Thula Sukshma Karana Navarupas. So sthula sukshma karana nama rupa vilakshana atma is what? Sthula sukshma karana nama rupa vilakshana atma is turiya atma, is given the name turiya atma. The one who obtains as, like, as though the fourth person. Not the is called Turiya Atma. So Atma obtains as though the fourth person, like the fourth person. Therefore we say, because Atma is endowed with these fourfold facets, Atma is given the title Chatushpat. Got it? Chatushpat. Saha Ayam Atma Chatushpat. Soyam Atma Chatushpat. Nangu Padangale Udaitthirupadhal Avarukku Nangu Padi Chatushpat Endru Peyar. Pada should be understood as facet. Now you can understand the first Padaha. The sthula atma is discussed in the mantra number 3. Sukshma atma is discussed in the mantra number 4. And the karana atma is discussed in 2 verses, 5 and 6. And kriya atma is elaborately discussed in mantra number 7. Therefore, the following 5 mantras, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 4, 3 mantras, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 5 mantras, the Atma Vichara is done elaborately. Now, even if you have not understood these, what is Thula Atma, what is Sukshma Atma, what is Karana Atma, what is Turiya Atma, does not matter. Each verse, we will see each mantra, not going to see just the mantra. With so many verses of Karika, even if we do not understand the mantra, Gaudapada Acharya's commentary Karika will make us understand the mantra. And even if Karika will not make us understand the mantra, Adishankara Bhagavatpada's Bhasham will make us understand mantra. That is why we have 215 Karikas for these 12 mantras. Now you know very well. So even though Upanishad begins, The two analysis introduces. You know, Omkara Vichara and Atma Vichara initially, first 2 verses. Later on, Upanishad changes the order. What? It begins with Omkara Vichara, but it first, after Atma Vichara, it continues the elaborated discussion of Atma Vichara only. So, 3, 4, 5, 6, 4 mantras discuss the 3 atmas. Thula Atma discussed in verse number 3. Sukshma Atma is discussed in mantra number 4. Karana Atma is discussed in mantra number 5 and 6. And Turiya Atma is discussed in mantra number 7. With these 5 mantras, the Soyam Atma Chatushpat. Okay, the enquiry into the nature of Atma as Chatushpat is elaborately presented in the following mantras. Then again we'll come across the Omkara enquiry. Okay, with this today's class is over. Any doubts? No. You go home and analyze this today. Now it's a homework for you. At C, this point number. Is there an object? Is there a thing which can have the status of being existent, which is not available as an object of knowledge? And which is not available not only for me, remember very clearly, not only now, it must have been available at least in the past, it must have been available at least, it must be available in future at least. There is a thing which is now, which will not be available for objectification in future or in present or in the past. Just not available in the past, which is not available at present, which will not be available in future. And for any of the pramanas, and for anybody, even if it is available for me, so an object must be available to have the status of being existent. It must be available for any of the pramana at any time or for someone or the other. If there is an object which is not known, no, available for anyone at any time through any of the pramanas, means such an object, can you imagine? Such an object is known as non-existent in Shastra. Unreal. Okay? Therefore, an existent, to be existent, an object is dependent on pramanam. It must be a prameyam. And to be a prameyam, there must be a pramata. An object to have the status of being existent, it must be an object of knowledge. And for the object of knowledge to be there, there must be pramata, the knower. And the knower can be there only if I, the conscious being, choose to know through a given pramanam, operating a given means of knowledge, instrument of knowledge. In waking state, I, the conscious being, when I choose to know, operating any of the pramanams, then the knower is available. When I, the conscious being, using the dream instruments of knowledge, the dream choice to know, then there is no dream knower possible. In deep sleep state, when I do not operate any of the instruments of knowledge and I do not choose to know anything, then there is no knower available. So the knower is possible only if I choose to know. Therefore, the knower, the pramata, existence of pramata is dependent on I, the conscious being. We all had to remember now, had to think.
Swamini, can I ask you a question?
Yes, I know what your questions tell me. Let me listen.
It just, the way I understand it, I, the consciousness, desires to know something, or there is a, wants to know something. Because it wants to know something, the knower appears, and because the knower is there, there's the instruments of knowledge, and then there's the object of knowledge that is known.
Yeah.
But what is it that the I wants to know? Because it's not an object, because the object hasn't appeared yet.
No, I didn't even say want, but I just say, the choose, I chooses to, I said, in terms of using up, when it is manifest. The manifestation. Yeah, what does it mean by saying the desiring or choosing, isn't it?
Yeah.
That we will see in the class, the following class.
Okay. Thank you.
Cliffhanger.
If I tell you everything, Rojajan, then what can I do next class? But otherwise, are you satisfied?
Yeah.
We will see the actionlessness will be become very clear for us. Actionlessness, desirelessness, wishlessness being the nature of Atma. We will see that later on. It's only to understand now, the steps to understand. Is it clear?
Thank you.
What I say, I must be manifest. I must manifest. I should become manifest. Only then there can be operation or function, you know, employing of these instruments of knowledge. That is what is meant. When the conscious being is not manifest, when there is no manifestation of I, and where is the question of instruments of knowledge being operated? Got it? The manifestation. I must become manifest.
And does it become manifest first as the knower?
No.
No?
There's no knower without the manifestation.
Very good.
Clear or not?
No.
No. What?
We're coming next week, Charlie, don't worry.
The steps are clear, Swami. The steps are clear, yes.
Okay, I know what, I was expecting this question from someone. I didn't want to explain it, but I didn't want to do too much because I thought our steps themselves are too much.
Yeah.
I learned too many words today. You know, how to see Prameyam and Pramata, subject of knowledge and object of knowledge, both are dependent on our I for existence. Therefore, they are mithya. Therefore, they are as good as namarupas. Therefore, they are non-substantial. And therefore, the Atma gets the name also Sthula Sukshma Karana Atmas. They're all steps, isn't it?
Yes.
Ultimately to arrive at Turiya Atma. But it will be elaborately discussed. Anyway, it's only a bird's eye view of the explanation of Chatushpad. In the widest picture, you will see Atma very clearly. As the very seer you. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om
Shanti Shanti Shanti.